Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Third time lucky.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Here with you for the first of two podcasts you're going to get in your feed. This one, all about, well, no, just generally. We're just going to chat generally. Obviously, it's another weekend of European rugby, and there's all kinds of other stuff been going on over the last 7 days we're going to get into. You can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, Egg Chasers on Facebook and Instagram. The man right over there, Jonathan Beardmore, is at J Beardmore on Twitter.
Indeed. Or at Sail Sharks. No. Well, not at Sail Sharks. You can't find me on Twitter at Sail Sharks.
Well, you can find you tweeting about at Sail Sharks.
Oh, yeah, you can find me tweeting about them.
No, yeah, JB broke his presenting duck, doing some corporate and other type fan-based hosting at Sail Sharks.
Yeah, amazing. And the conversation on the way to the fan tent was, oh, you've done this before, haven't you? Nope. No idea. But it went okay.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm at Cocker, the man over there that lurks on Instagram and Twitter with a nondescript handle that he doesn't want you to know is Phil. Or Phil. Hello, Phil.
Hello. Hello, Tim.
Right. You both sound like you've got those morning after voices, you know, when they're slightly like an octave deeper.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
JB's is a little bit more strained and yours is an octave deeper.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for noticing.
I spent a lot of time talking at my teammates post-game yesterday, so...
How did the mighty Toc H get on?
We drew against the top of the league.
Drew.
Was it throwing away leads left, right and centre. We threw away a 14-point lead against Widnes. We threw away at least a 10-point lead against West Park St Helens. Unbelievable.
Draws are weird, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And we had to draw. We went down with 1 minute to go. Made our way back up the pitch. Penalty, about 7 metres out in front of the sticks. Do you take the kick for the draw or do you go for the scrum? Attack and we took the draw.
I always found.
Was that a message that you put on? Did you point sticks?
Or I left it to the captain.
Yeah.
Whatever the captain says goes.
Yeah. Mm. Good, like that.
I often found, especially playing like lower level, like second team level type games, or lower down the leagues, no one really knew the score. There's like two people. The ref generally knows the score.
Right.
Occasionally the captain knows the score.
I was convinced we were winning.
Yeah. A lot of the people, like you just kind of feel, oh, it feels like we've scored. By the end of the game, it might be like 5 tries to 4, but it might be 4 kicks to 3. So you just feel like, oh, we're probably on the good side of this. And I've been in games that have ended as a draw, and it's only like 10 minutes after the game that half the team finds out that it was actually a draw.
I could tell you if I've won or lost, but I couldn't tell you the scores of about 95% of the games that I've played.
Yeah.
So we have got some big, juicy talking points, even aside from the actual matters on the field in the Heineken Cup. I do love calling it the Heineken Cup.
Yeah.
Every time, it's just like...
It feels
Well,
feels
no,
natural.
I love not correcting myself after calling it the Heineken Cup. That's what I like.
Correct. So the England squad was announced earlier this week.
Mm.
Go on, JB.
Let's just
go.
I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I mean... Surely, you need big men to win international rugby. And there's a lot of clamour saying, isn't it great that Zach Mercer's in? Or isn't it great that skilled players are in over big lumps or whatever it is? And no, the answer is no. England need big men to win rugby games. I think that was shown brutally, actually, against France when they lost to not even a good team, just a big team.
A very big team.
Yeah, I have no idea how England plan to beat South Africa. I just don't know.
So that is one of the biggest talking points this week. The non-selection of Don Armand, for example, and Dave Ewers, to name two of the guys who were touted.
Dave Atwood.
Atwood, yeah. Although it was second row, I think. Mm. I'm far less concerned about second row than I am
agreed
with the back row. And the back row, the best way I have to explain it would be back rows need balance. And whether you've got the big man at six or even the big man at seven or the big man at eight, it doesn't really matter. So Exeter can have Sam Simmons at number eight, who is very, very small by a Premiership back row standard. But if he's got you as an Armand either side of him, it's completely irrelevant because you can use his speed and use their size. But the England team as it is right now, the squad, you've got a few workhorses I've described them as. They're very good all-rounders, not exceptional carriers, in the likes of Brad Shields, Michael Rhodes, Mark Wilson. You've got a couple of kind of true fetchers in Underhill and Curry. You've got a couple of protégés who've got huge potential but have not shown it enough for international standard in Zach Mercer and Ted Hill. And you've got one big ball carrier in Ben Morgan, who has had
no international games.
By my count, a couple of good games in the last 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, you just mentioned a name there, and it triggers me more than misgendering people in Brad Shields. Brad Shields has done nothing to warrant a call-up. You know, against Leinster, which is a great example, Wasps got absolutely hammered, but it was an amazing, amazing opportunity for lads to stand up and be counted. Tommy Taylor did that. Thomas Young battled like an absolute warrior. Brad Shields missed, I know we don't like talking about missed tackles, missed about a third of his tackles. He wasn't even busy.
I watched him very closely yesterday.
Oh, good.
Because I was at the Rico, and if you are selecting on form, and I've no doubt he can be an exceptional player, he is not warranting a place on form.
No.
Absolutely not.
The form, because we know he's done it in the past, because he's been there and done it in very different circumstances, very different competition with the Hurricanes, and he's been to Super Rugby finals and won Super Rugby. So he's got talent, but yeah, if you're going on the form argument, he's not there. He's not even close to the conversation on form.
Eddie picked him, right? I put him in at second row for the second test South Africa. It's utterly mad.
Ted Hill. Yay.
Ted Hill.
Don Armand, sorry, mate. Move over. Ted Hill's played two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, two very good games.
Two very good
games. Just not a bloody international, is he?
Yeah.
So, the squad, I mean, Eddie's getting fired. I have no doubt about it now. How can you be so bad at your job? It's gone now. It's gone past a tipping point. So, you could see through Six Nations, he kind of got it wrong and it went badly, but hey, they'll bounce back. Then they went to South Africa. It didn't go well. They win one game. And people like Owen Farrell are talking about, hey, it doesn't feel like a losing tour. It feels like a winning tour. Well, no, you lost. And now they're going to go into the autumn internationals with a pretty threadbare squad. It doesn't need to be. That's the thing. It doesn't need to be. They have the players available to them. And Eddie Jones is talking about, it doesn't matter about the results. It's going to be a launch pad to the World Cup.
Wouldn't you say that if you're expecting to lose 3 out of 4 games?
He's
saying, oh yeah, ignore the results, guys.
He's already signing to us. It's over.
Yeah.
We're not going to win these games. What's the other one? There is talk, lots of talk actually, of moving Owen Farrell to 10. I think that's a great idea. However, you've had, 3 years in the job? Or 2 years in the job? You should have done it 3 years ago.
The caveat there is, in those 2-3 years, he hasn't had Manu Tuilagi and he hasn't had a fit Benteo very much. So that's sort of forced his hand. That's why we ended up with Ford Farrell in the first place, because there was no other option.
It
worked out quite well.
It has. Yeah. Well, it did for a while. Okay, so it has
13 games. It worked out very well.
It has and it hasn't forced his hand in a way. So someone tweeted me a few weeks ago, maybe a week ago, about the Irish provinces. And they said, based on England's population, England should have 32 provinces or something ridiculous like that. I thought, that is a really, really strong point. So the rugby-playing population Eddie Jones has got to work with is huge. And yet he can only identify two centres which he can play in his system. Other than that, he has to rip it up and play a completely different way. The best coaches, like Warren Gatland, for instance, will mould the players they have to the system that they want. So when Warren Gatland's got really nice players like Hadley Parks, who's nice and silky, he plays one way. When he's got Jamie Roberts, he plays another way.
Well, that's the opposite of what you just said. You just said he moulds players to his system.
Yes.
But then you said, when he has Hadley Parks, he plays a certain way. And when he has a different player, he plays a different way.
No, sorry. He moulds his system to his players,
Right.
Not his players to his system.
Yeah.
Whereas Eddie Jones has got a very clear idea in his head how he wants to play. Well, that's great, but he needs everybody fit. And I just don't. And also, he's not built the strength in depth in his squad either. That's the other thing. If you're so reliant on one player, I don't think you're doing your job right, particularly when you've got the biggest rugby playing population in the world to pick from.
Now, I'm still, in the over the longer term, I'm still relatively optimistic, and I'm not doing a thing where I'm just... It feels like there is a momentum growing of people dissatisfied with Eddie Jones. However, on this particular squad, there is so much that defies logic,
doesn't
rhyme
it?
Or reason, that I'm... like, only two hookers?
Yeah, which okay. He's done in the past, yep. But it does leave you threadbare.
He does have three scrum halves, but his yep. scrum half decision-making... Okay, so he's gone, Danny Kerr have the summer off, fine. And he's gone, do you know what? Ben Spencer, you're my man. You're going to be my backup scrum half. Actually, Ben Spencer, you're dropped from the summer training squad. Dan Robson, you're my new man. You're yep. the man. You're the new number three. Autumn international squad, Dan Robson's injured. Do I go back to the guy that in South Africa was my man, or do I go back to someone I haven't played since Six Nations over a year ago and I haven't included in any squads for ages? What is the thinking?
I mean, I know it's horrendously boring to say this, right? When I say that, it almost sounds like I'm being disrespectful to the players I'm about to mention. But if you really want to win games, you need to be looking at people like Brad Barrett, and you need to be looking at people like Richard Wigglesworth. I mean, I know it's not exciting. I know it's not the yep. future, but the future is the World Cup.
Yeah, my point isn't Richard Wigglesworth shouldn't be in the squad. My point is, if Richard Wigglesworth is the next cab off the rank, why wasn't he in South Africa? Why wasn't he in the squad before that?
Yeah, why has he not been in the autumn training squad that was announced a few weeks ago, yeah. where Dan Robson was in?
You almost feel this desperation when they bring players in, they look at them for 5 minutes, and then they disregard them and just throw them on the heap because he's... I think Eddie Jones is looking for the magic bullet, and he's not going to find it.
No.
Well, there is the closest thing to a magic bullet is Manu Tuilagi.
Yes.
Which many coaches have been beached on those rocks in the past.
There's
many a coach who have thrown all their eggs in the Manu Tuilagi basket.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to...
I mean, he puts in a few sensational performances, and he played very, very well on Friday night. Man of the match performance. But then... will be unavailable for whatever reason.
Yeah, he does a lot of destruction to opposition backlines, but also things like, the destruction of the Leicester Tigers' profit and loss accounts, coaches' reputations.
Three coaching setups in the last 2 years have been beached on that.
Yeah, you're the best paid coach in the world, and you're relying on a man who has played... I think, has he even got 100 appearances for Tigers yet?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure
you only got
Do you know how many caps he's got for England?
20.
Yeah, that would feel about right.
26.
Yeah. Since, because he was 2011 World Cup when he was kind of 20 years old, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, long period of time.
Yeah. Hope it's fit again. I loved in the his Man of the Match chat I had with him earlier. I love the fact I went, man, you know... massive, big night for the club, big night for you, you've waited for this all this time, etc. And his response was like, yeah, it was nice.
It's good.
Well, do you remember?
Nice was the word. I love that he said nice.
That video about, was it earlier this season or last season, when it's, what does wearing the Leicester Tigers shirt mean to you? And it was like, the least enthusiastic, yeah, it's good, it's...
Nice.
Nice for my family. means a lot to me.
Wow.
He's so laid back, he's horizontal for such a violent man on a rugby field.
That is a big boost for Eddie Jones. So you can talk about the weaknesses.
Yes.
And the two big holes are loose head and number eight, the balance of the back row, the carrier in the back row. But other than that, the squad is actually taking not a bad shape. There's a few injuries in the back three, but they've got more than enough to cover. They've got so many options at second row. Mm. You have got options, even though there's only two in the team at hooker. You've got options at tight end. You've got options right across the board, apart from those two gaps. And Manu coming back doesn't mean that you can play a way that is different to the two pivots being in the centre, the 10-12 channel. And also, Tio was on the bench for the first time, so those two are looking like they're going to be available.
Talk about profit and loss and value. Worcester... Great, we've got you back on the bench for a European Challenge Cup game.
Oh.
See you later, Ben.
Yeah.
See you in 6 weeks.
They've got Ollie Lawrence, it doesn't matter.
Oh, my word.
Bad business, isn't it?
It is. But yeah, on the back row one, I was watching two players particularly yesterday. I was watching the game, Brad Shields and Zach Mercer. And
yeah,
I totally agree with you, Phil, on your balance in the back row. And Zach Mercer is a weapon that you can unleash with a balance in that pack. I just wish, I want to celebrate all the great things people can do rather than just talking down the negatives.
Yeah.
I will say on Zach Mercer, and you talk about international rugby and you talk about South Africa, go and watch Ashley Johnson's try again.
I've not seen any rugby yet, so that's why we're not talking about
fine.
Games.
Zach Mercer, just watch Ashley Johnson's try. Zach Mercer got run over.
Did he? Well, I mean, the logic goes, doesn't it? If England play a game... If England play a game which is nice and expansive, you can get Zach Mercer on the field and he can run at shoulders and run at space. There is no space at international rugby.
His footwork's amazing. He can create space in no... And so I want to celebrate that that unique skill. But to have him at number eight, all the point I'm making is this is where someone like a debut as Don Armand might be worth having just for South Africa alone.
I actually think
absolutely
Mercer would be a cracking eight for a lot of international teams. I just don't think he can play for Eddie Jones. That is more the point.
Well,
it's not the point.
I think we're going to find out, aren't we? And I hope you're wrong.
It's a straight shootout between Mercer and Morgan for that number eight shirt.
I mean, how do you even compete with those two? I mean, what drills or what do you watch to compare them? I mean, one does one thing, the other does another thing.
So different. They're not even. Not. It's not like Billy or Nathan, which is 1A and 1B of the same type of player. They are so different.
Yeah, I don't know. He's on a high. I think he's lost the plot now. I think he's actually quite desperate.
Well, one other name in the squad, which again he's done okay this season, but keeps getting selected by Eddie Jones, and fair play to him. Nathan Earle maybe segues into another point because Nathan Earle is in that England squad.
Mm-hmm. He has done very well this season.
He has done well this season.
I would add.
Yes.
I've not rated him particularly highly, but he's finished off some good tries for Quins this season.
Absolutely, he has. And I'm not suggesting he should be out for this next name I'm going to bring up, but it segues quite nicely. Nathan Earle is in the squad, and you wonder if seeing that every squad for the last year and a half or whatever has been part of the reason why Christian Wade is on his way to the NFL.
Mm. Yeah. Well, he thinks he's on his way to the NFL. I mean, it's a tiny bit more... I think someone needs to tell Christian it's a little bit more tricky than this.
Well, he went to school with Christian Scotland Williamson, so I'm sure he's... I'm sure he understands the process. So if you don't understand the process, I'm fascinated by this, and I've been keeping tabs on like the international player pathway thing on the NFL YouTube channel. It's really interesting. So international player pathway, I think maybe half a dozen or maybe more players a year are identified as potential NFL recruits from around the world, and you quite often get some from Germany, and Christian Scotland Williamson was one from England. Alex Gray
happens to Alex Gray?
Atlanta Falcons.
He's
still in the practice
squad.
So they get a free roster spot, don't they?
Well, yeah. So the way it works, the international player pathway gives them intensive training between, I think, January and April when the draft is. Then you have the NFL draft where all the college players go into the pool with all these, you know, Christian Wade will be in that pool, and NFL teams pick their 9 players. And if you make one of those, then great. If not, you become an undrafted free agent, which is what most of these players do. Mm-hmm. There was only one guy that got actually drafted. Christian Scotland Williamson went to the Pittsburgh Steelers as an undrafted free agent.
Yep, still there now.
And then, yeah, as you say, normally you would have to earn a practice squad spot. But because they're international players, there's special funding that means they will get an extra spot for one of these players. Hence, Christian Scotland Williamson might not have necessarily made a practice squad, but he's at the Pittsburgh Steelers learning. Mm. Christian Wade will get that. He's 27. He'll be 28 by the time the draft comes round.
Yeah.
I cannot see him being a running back or a wide receiver. A kick returner, yes.
Kick returner, I actually can see him being a running back. How effective, I don't know. But he doesn't fit anywhere else, does he? With safety? Maybe?
I mean, there's so much to learn about the nuances and the schemes and the playbooks and I just think it would be an unbelievable story if he makes it.
Well, I mean, it'd be more unbelievable if he made it to the England team, to be fair. I mean, what people aren't really talking about Christian Wade is he's not played very well for about 3 years.
Definitely for the last 6 months.
You
sort of wonder whether has his head been somewhere else this season. He hasn't scored this season yet.
Has he not?
No, and he has played particularly badly this season.
And he's in Phil's fantasy rugby draft team.
That's why you know. I mean, look.
So the last couple of seasons he has scored a lot of tries, but as the point I've made repeatedly in the past is it has been feast and famine, and I've used the words flat track bully. He will score 6 tries against Worcester.
He's the Patrick Clivert of rugby.
Yeah, 6 tries, go for a feast against a weaker team, and then against Saracens, against Exeter, he will do nothing.
Yeah, he makes a couple of good tackles, and everyone says, oh, look, he's sorted out his defensive frailties. Not so much.
So he will be earning, I've looked up what you earn.
500k a year, is it?
If you're on a practice squad,
yeah,
$129,000. For a season.
Oh, okay. So that's
which works out at about $7,000 a week in terms of the actual season.
Okay, because they only get 16 checks, don't they?
Yeah.
As they call it. 16 payments.
So $129,000. If you make it onto...
So that will be a pay cut.
That will be a significant pay cut. If you make it onto an NFL roster, there's a rugby league guy called Jordan Mailata who's in the offensive line.
He's Eagles.
For the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you instantly, the second you get onto a 53-man roster, the minimum you earn is $600,000.
Yeah, that's a rookie minimum.
Which is all right. You could do all right on that.
So the player that this is most similar to, in my mind, not someone like Christian Scotland-Williamson or the, I can't remember his name right now, the Saracens second row.
Hayden Smith.
It's more someone like Jared Hayne, who was rugby league and sevens, Fiji and Australia, who was centre or winger generally played, but was much bigger. So he's 6'3", 105 kg, much bigger than someone like. But incredibly talented running athlete. So famous for being powerful, very fast runner, good stepper, which is the attributes that Wade has. But he never even got close to making it. He practice squad.
He did some punt returns.
He did. And I think he did make the... I mean, people need to understand this, that even to pull on the uniform of an NFL team is a phenomenal achievement. I mean, it is such a high standard that you can't take it casually. Like, even the best athletes in rugby probably are not good enough, and they probably wouldn't even play the positions you expect them to play. So, I mean, me and Phil were talking just before you got here about where would Christian Wade play. You can't play receiver. Because the receivers now are like 6'4" and above. So he's not going there. There is more chance of Courtney Laws playing receiver.
Where's Welker and Edelman?
Slot receivers. So, yeah. I mean, he could potentially do that, I guess. I don't know. If I was Christian Wade, I would concentrate on my rugby. Unless what he's really concentrating on, and I've got a lot of sympathy for this, and I say it only half jokingly, unless he's thinking about his after-dinner speaking fee. Because I look at someone like James Haskell, who did all his travelling early doors. I think that makes him remarkably interesting and better-rounded for when he leaves the game. That's the only way I can even begin to quantify what Christian Wade is doing.
Of course, none of this has yet been confirmed by the club.
Or Christian Wade, I've seen. Yeah. But it's being reported as fact by all of the big media outlets.
Yeah. So it is happening. It's just obviously there. I imagine there's it's legal situations.
Yeah. So Wasps did make a statement just to say
they're aware of the speculation
and they're not going to make a statement.
I mean, you would have thought, being aware of the speculation, Wasps would be in a remarkably good place to actually find out the truth of this, wouldn't you? Rather than just reading, Christian Wade's going where? Just call him. Ask him.
The interesting thing, because there will be a contractual element to this as to, well, how does he break his contract?
Just leaves, I guess.
Yeah, but how?
Just leaves.
Just leaves, but he's got a contractual obligation that he needs to fulfil. So if he's going to another sporting establishment, there might need to be a compensation payment in the same way as Denny Solomona.
He needs to... the man to ask about this is Steve Diamond.
Well, there's...
Steve Diamond knows how to get someone out of a rugby league contract like that.
But he ended up paying... He ended up paying compensation.
They were due a fee. And also, I think one of the other things to think about is...
I think they were just fighting over who pays the legal costs in the end.
What if he doesn't get drafted or after... I don't know how long he's got left on his contract, but if his current contract runs beyond the time he spends in the NFL and he comes back to rugby.
Yeah.
Ooh. Then you could understand if Wasp were in a position of saying, if Christian Wade has say, fallen out of love with the game, but then falls back in love with it in a year's time.
Yeah. Falls back in love with the extra money that he can get, especially considering if he's only on the most basic NFL deal.
I wonder if most of it is just the fantasy of living in America, being
He's got an American
NFL
girlfriend.
Has he? He's probably been talking to Dom Waldock. He was playing like college rugby out there, but was very complimentary about his time out.
Yeah, he really enjoyed himself.
Played pro rugby in USA, like college team basically.
Cleveland, wasn't it?
I can't remember where he was playing, but I just remember him saying that, like, practice in the morning, do a bit of studying or whatever he was doing in the. Like midday, and then just go.
What did he do with the rest of his time?
Hang out by the pool. The pool he was hanging out with was located next to some kind of nursing college establishment.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It seemed like quite a good setup.
Also, just like, you know, really immersing himself in the culture.
The culture, the life. Yeah, absolutely. The one person.
And that's Cleveland. Imagine getting picked up by, I don't know, Miami Dolphins or something.
I think that's smart of Dom Waldock going to a place where. But, you know, that he can exchange cultural values more because they won't be as used to the English
absolutely.
Way.
I might be talking out of turn here, but I don't even think Dom Waldock got paid for his stint out in America. I don't think they paid their players in the end.
By the sounds of it, he was paying them.
Yeah. Just let me stay one more week.
Don't let me go to Newcastle.
One person that Christian Wade should speak to who's had dealings with this is Johan Usen.
I was about to say he should become a commercial manager for
some kind of agricultural centre down in South Africa. Just 6 months as commercial director for a farming company down in South Africa, and then all your problems go away.
Exactly. Wise words. Where is he now? Is he
at Montpellier?
Bloody hell.
So Lef Rassing was the highest paid player in top 14, broke that deal, went to South Africa for, I think it ended up being about 12 months.
And is he in the South African team yet?
No.
I bet he wishes he'd gone to America for those 6 months.
Staggering, isn't it? Absolutely staggering that you can be the highest paid player, want to break your contract, come back to Montpellier and still not in the South Africa team.
I wonder if he'll get called up as we get closer to the World Cup. But then, obviously, that whole thing, that whole debacle was very disruptive, and there were talks about his advisors that were obviously disrupting very much so for Rassing. That's not necessarily the kind of guy you want bringing into your squad.
And I also think that we're going to see more of this. As rugby players become more valuable, we're going to see a lot more players clinging onto them for dear life and quote-unquote advising them.
Yes.
Anyway, talking of a guy who might need some advice, Danny Cipriani. But before that, let's talk about Cornerstone.
Yes, Cornerstone. The amazing purveyors and manufacturers of quality raising gear, and it's what you need in your life, and we love them. We've got a great relationship with them, and for that reason we've managed to wangle a pretty cool deal for you as well. So Cornerstone are the original mail order razor company. None of this new companies coming on board with their plastic cheap razors. Take that bit out. Coming on board with their plastic razors, trying to do what Cornerstone do. Cornerstone is all about the German precision-engineered razors delivered to you in a Cornerstone presentation box. And because you listen to us, your free aluminium shaft with your engraved initials on them as well. So, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That will cost you just £4 with no obligation, but we think you'll want to carry on and check out some of the other products they've got as well. £4, less than a pint for that. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10, check out.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Danny Cipriani. Yeah, we didn't mention him when we were talking about the England squad.
No, because I think after this weekend, that ship has probably sailed, hasn't it?
Do you think a red card makes it... Well, you're probably right. I mean, I don't think the red card or not has anything to do with...
No,
I completely agree. But we need to remember the power of the media. And they are very, very powerful. And we'll get onto this in a second.
Powerful enough to... the more they shout about a name, the more Eddie Jones will ignore it.
Yeah, and they set the tone of the debate and they mostly drive it. Look at the concussion instance. But I think Danny Cipriani, after this red card, I mean, I was reading the Times today, and they describe it as things like moment of madness by Danny Cipriani.
Oh, my word.
I didn't see any madness.
There was no madness. There was no aggression or anger. It just... body height in slightly the wrong position.
Just before we get into that briefly, on the England squad, very quickly.
Yes.
Do you think there's any chance that what happened... Because let's remember, go back a year, Danny Cipriani was thinking about his future and thinking about going elsewhere. And he went to Gloucester because he got called up to that South Africa tour.
Yeah.
And since then he hasn't had a look in with Eddie Jones, despite doing well on that South Africa tour and despite playing very well for Gloucester. Do you think Eddie Jones... has basically just marked his territory, got him in so he would stay in England, so he could have him if
just
he needed
him,
but with no intention of actually using him unless he absolutely had to?
I don't know. I think it'd be very cruel if that's what he did.
It would be.
It'd be very out of order, and I'd lose a lot of respect for the man for that, because Danny Cipriani could have earned a lot more money outside of France, and the reason he stayed would have been to play for England. So yeah. I hope he didn't. I sincerely hope he did it with the best of intentions, but it does look like, it does look almost like a point of principle now that he doesn't pick Danny Cipriani for reasons I don't understand, really. Yeah.
Well, see, I don't actually mind not picking Danny Cipriani, because for me, he is the third best fly half in England.
He's not, though, is he? I mean, well, I just don't think he is.
Your opinion is that he isn't.
England have won one game on tour, and I put that solely down to Danny Cipriani. Well, not solely, but a large part. He can do things the other two can't. And I think if he's moving Farrell back to 10, and that is a genuine move, maybe you can say Danny Cipriani doesn't come in the team.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And that's fine. I guess all I was just saying is, has he potentially been sold up the river a little bit? But that's just
From Eddie Jones's perspective, he needs to have the best players available. Yeah. Cipriani's definitely in the top three fly halves, and so he will be, for me, he will be in contention going into the World Cup.
Yeah.
But right now, he, for me again, he's third choice.
What about the red card then?
It's a red card. It's just
say what you think.
It's just bad, isn't it? I mean, I don't know.
If I could just put quotation marks around all that breathing and I don't know. I completely agree with that. Ditto.
Yeah. So, yeah, it does even for me. It feels soft. But it shows the direction that they're going and what lawmakers are trying to do. I understand the intent of why that is a red card.
They have it so wrong. The decision itself, that's why I'm emming and ahhing, because I don't blame the ref for it. The refs are getting scrutinised as much as anyone, probably even more harshly than the players now by their own profession.
Well, let's not forget there's a World Cup for referees next year. I bet the pressure is probably quite high for them.
They need to get their calls right.
You've seen the pressure that can come onto referees when they get calls wrong. Think of the Joubert Scotland-Australia incident at the last World Cup. Mm. No one wants a repeat of that kind of thing.
And the referees will have seen the two retrospective red cards for Toulouse in the week.
Yep.
The game is going in a direction where it's going to damage itself forever. Now, people will say, what about the safeguarding? What about player welfare? And I get a lot of stick for this because allegedly I don't care about players. I mean, this is the new thing now. If you're going to be an absolute arse on Twitter, you've got to climb onto Mount Pius and say that you are the champion of player welfare, when actually no such real position exists. And they're just damaging the game, because I don't see how you can take give Danny Cipriani a red card for that. I don't see how Jerome Kano gets a red card for... I mean, Jerome Kano, right, is less of a red card than Danny Cipriani. Because if you're going to go letter of the law, quote-unquote, Jerome Kano does not hit anyone in the head.
Well, Roberts did say he got hit in the chin by Kano.
Well, I mean, that could be... I mean, you could hit anyone and hit Jamie Roberts in the chin.
So...
Okay.
there was contact with a head, neck, face, enormous chin area.
It looked to me a little bit like a George Smith one, where it was not conclusive to me that there was. If he says he was, I'll take that.
The video last week, it did look inconclusive. But
it's just going down the road where we can't win the concussion debate. Concussion is not going to solve itself. Concussion is not going to get better. Lowering the tackle height will not help. We can limit games. I think that is a perfectly fair way. You can limit minutes, but you can't limit the risk. You just can't.
You can reduce the risk.
You can limit, but you can't remove.
You cannot. There's no way you can get rid of, because even the most fair tackle can have an unwanted outcome for concussion or any other number of injuries. So you can't get rid of that entirely. You can reduce the risk, which is what they're trying to do. The concern from a lot of people is that it will have unintended consequences.
Made a really good analogy the other week, and I can't remember what it was. It was like trying to eradicate something, and some people look at it like murder and other people look at it like polio, right? So what I mean by that is, if you look at concussions like you look at murder and you want to eradicate all concussions, you can, in the same way you can eradicate murder. But the consequences to whatever you're doing are going to be so dire.
That sounds like there's a murder in your
game. Yeah, pretty much. The consequences are going to be so dire to society or the game, you don't really want to do that. Whereas if you look at something like prevention, you can make it safer, but it'll never be completely safe. So people are looking at it the wrong way. You cannot eradicate concussion. I think we've gone too far down this road now.
Well, I am interested to see. So I generally take a glass half full perspective on these kind of things. I'm interested to see long term what this push, this drive to lower the height of the tackler will have. Because there was noises around this that if Danny Cipriani he bends his back a bit more, he gets in the position that the World Rugby want the tackler to be in, then there's no problem.
Yeah.
So it's putting it back onto the players a little bit to just be mindful of that. Work that extra bit harder to get in the position every time, and we'll see what happens. There might be a whole spate of other injuries that are caused by that we've just not seen yet.
Someone
or
ducking
might
their
have
head quickly to get out the way of a high tackle and then compressing their neck.
Yeah. It could be that. You could see a spike in neck injuries or hip injuries.
We've played this game for generations. I played yesterday. Talk H put up four teams. I checked in with about five or six other friends who played at different teams. And, thousands of people played this game yesterday, right? And the level of concussion was relatively low. Now, I'm not saying that is an argument to just keep things as they are, but we've outsourced the rules of the game to a small handful of individuals that are making rules for us, talking in legalities which don't really translate into what majority of players do. They are looking at a tiny, tiny proportion of the rugby-playing population who play professional and making laws around that, when actually the game is perfectly safe. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not as safe as filling in your tax return, but it's pretty safe. And
safer than horse riding.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people do this every weekend. And, I don't know where these rules... I mean, the rule changes are... Well, I don't think they're in the best interest of the game. And I don't think they're going to... I don't think they're going to improve it. And it's only going to get worse. I think once they deal with concussion, it'll be something else.
Well, that is my issue. So on this one, letter of the law... Red card. I don't want that to be a red card, because Danny Cipriani, you can see him kind of backing off. And the coaching point for me is run your head into someone's shoulder when you ball carrier.
Yeah.
Like Scannell did.
Low body height.
I'm not saying
Scannell
did deliberately.
Yeah,
he didn't.
Yeah.
But he just played rugby.
But actually, he ran into Danny Cipriani's shoulder. Danny Cipriani did not forcefully move his shoulder into Rory Scannell's head. Niall.
Well, one of them. Scannell.
Scannell.
S. Scannell.
A. Scannell.
N Scannell.
N or S. Anyway, whatever.
N Scannell.
Anyway, one's a hooker, one's a centre.
he didn't forcefully move it into it, and I think what it's the red cards are about, and we're going to get a lot more of them, so we better get used to this, are until the behaviour's changed and the intention is to change players' behaviour. My thought is, in the meantime, it makes an absolute mess, but I'm with Phil where we'll see where it happens long term. I predict the law of unintended consequences.
Yeah.
But going back to what you just said, Jay, one of my biggest issues with this whole area is the level of sanctimonious input from people that have never played the game.
Ugh.
Or that, because they have a Twitter account, are suddenly emboldened with this belief in their opinion. To the point when Billy Vunipola puts out his opinion, and he's entitled to it, and he says, I don't like that. I don't want that to be a red card. What's going on?
Yeah, and by the way, Billy...
We're evolving into basketball, I think is what he said. Look, then to say, Billy, that's irresponsible. You shouldn't say that.
Who are those people? Who are the... I mean, it is...
The Joe website in Ireland. It was irresponsible and he's missing the point. He's putting out an opinion on Twitter.
Well, the Cipriani red card, as far as I can see, is just two men playing rugby. That's it. There is nothing irresponsible. There is, you know, it doesn't even look like Danny Cipriani wants to make the tackle, which wouldn't be the first time.
He's trying to get out of the way. That's what he said.
Yeah,
he realised he was in an upright position, and the guy had sort of stepped towards him. He was trying to back off.
Scannell had low body height. Was being tackled at the time.
I've got something interesting for you. So I was talking to a player, right, about. I've got to be very careful how I put this. So concussions have got a rather weird unintended consequence, which is faking in games. So did anyone see who was the guy who threw himself to the floor?
Nathan Catt,
right?
He was so hard hit.
So Nathan Catt,
I've got to be careful what I say. He had time to appeal to the referee before he fell to the floor.
Yeah. So Nathan Catt stands up, points at his head. Falls over, right?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, because the laws start at the top of the game and filter their way down, other people who are playing a very high level are subject to the same law. So championship, Division 1, Division 2, it's basically the same laws throughout. And they're also incredibly physical leagues.
Yeah.
So the feedback to players now is, do not feign injury. And if you do feign injury, under no circumstances touch your head. Because if you touch your head, you have to go off.
Yeah, HRA.
For an HRA. In fact, no, because they don't have the medical... That's it. They don't have the medical resources.
To do a HRA.
Yeah, so they've just got to come off.
You're just flat off.
So, boys, by all means, feign injury. Right?
But hold your ankle, your
knee, not hold your head.
Shoulder, wrist, yeah. Anything, ribs.
To the point, like, even if you do get hit in the head, don't hold your head.
Yeah.
Because we can't take you off. Which I thought was very, very interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So just one last point on the Cipriani, because we've done it to death, and we've done lots of these things to death. It's actually a point that you often make, Tim, and you often complain that there is the effect for a big man is not the same for a smaller man. And so for me, the Kano and Cipriani, the force extremely different, because Kano's 19 stone, monster, Cipriani's 13.5 stone. But the sanction, the law was applied consistently, despite the fact that it was enormous force compared to virtually no force. That was interesting to
see. We know the law.
We'll see what the ban is.
We simply know, don't we, now, that that the law's a farce. I mean, in fact, we just know it's a farce now, so let's...
Put it onto the players to... Yeah. They know what the laws are now. The laws are being applied consistently, which is one of the things. Whether you agree with them or not, consistency is a good thing.
You say that consistency is a good thing, and to a degree, Billy 12 Trees probably deserved a red. If you actually applied the same letter of the law consistently across an 80 minutes, there'd be three or four red cards a game.
Madness.
Yeah.
Madness.
So the player's behaviour is going to have to change, you're right.
Yes.
And so when Billy Vunipola expresses his dismay... That is not him denying the fact that he's going to have to change his own behaviour. That is him regretting that he'll have to change his behaviour. But he will, and that's fine.
Will.
And that's where we are.
Because he knows the laws and he knows the consequences of not doing are too great.
Yeah.
I just think the weight of public opinion now is so skewed to one side on this concussion debate and the safety debate that it's never going to go back to the way it is. But if it was up to me, I'd put it back to the way it was. In terms of the laws, and if we're going to get around it, we have to get around it by managing players' time and exposure to the game full stop. That's the only way to do it.
Yeah, because interesting, and in terms of the NFL, they've actually some of the data said that actually the I was reading this the other day. The majority, what they've done is modified the training.
Yes, that's right.
To reduce the workload, because actually the majority of impacts was happening on the training field.
Yeah. So NFL have one contact session a week, maybe. Yep. Yeah. I think it's that, and I think rugby should go down that road.
Some clubs definitely have done. I know back a few years ago when I was playing, there was talks of doing it.
Well, I know
rugby league do it a lot. They do, from what I know, they do very, very little contact outside games
because they get so much of it in the game. Now,
well, yeah, rugby league players can make 30 to 40 carries and 30 to 40 tackles per game, which is they would be like, it just cannot happen in rugby union. Making 20 tackles is an enormous number in rugby.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how the Irish... I mean, the Irish lads look probably the fittest and the healthiest of everyone because they're so well managed. And I think maybe England are going to have to do that some way.
Billy 12 Trees deserved the red. And also, the Munster... Who's the Munster number 8? Is it CJ Stander should have been red carded because if you apply it correctly, 12 Trees and Stander's... Shoulder head,
yeah.
So let's see if CJ Stander, is he going to get a retrospective red card? He better do. Otherwise,
well, yeah, you're right.
If you're going to apply it consistently, he better
consistently.
Do.
Consistently, yeah.
These sighting commissioners need to expand that role. But, people are going to have a pop at us for... I'm not saying I don't understand why it's been done. I'm not saying... I'm not saying we might end up in a good place when players' behaviour changes. I'm just saying I regret that Danny Cipriani tackle is what is now worthy of a red card. And if you look at Jerome Kano, what did he get?
5 weeks.
5 weeks. Danny Cipriani,
you've got to be careful,
though.
You mustn't question the expertise of the experts, because that's one thing you're not allowed to do.
I want you to fast forward, think about the World Cup. Jerome Kano just got 5 weeks. And let's say Beauden Barrett does a Danny Cipriani in game one of the third pool game in the World Cup, he misses the rest of the World Cup.
Yeah.
There you go. Well done, everyone.
Then the other side of this, to put some perspective, Peter Brown, Ulster lock, this week retires because of repeated concussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, he's obviously not the first, he definitely won't be the last.
Who said this to me? Josh Gardner from Blood and Murder actually. Put it in a way which I really respected, which he said, I don't want to be watching the game. I don't want to watch the game that I love be responsible for, you know, giving people life-changing brain injury. And I think he's absolutely, that's a really good way to put it, because I don't look at it as a fan as such. I look at it because I still play. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing about the risk. Even now you've told me all the risks that makes me want to stop playing. And that opinion will never change. But I do understand if you're just watching it, maybe you do think, well, do I want to see this gladiatorial contest where people do get life-changing injuries? I don't know. It's a very, very complex subject.
So, yeah, let's finish that there. Mm. But go on to just a little bit of news, a bit lighter,
ooh,
about a game we just touched on in the Kano incident. The noises coming out of Bath following that game seem quite remarkable to me.
Nothing like losing with a bit of class, is it?
Now, wow. I don't actually know who this quote and this information, this opinion is attributed to, but the noises coming out of Bath are they might be seeking a replay of the game.
No, they read a letter, I understand.
Was it a letter?
Well, this appeared as a... It appeared as an exclusive with Owen Slot in the Times, didn't it?
Mm. Ah.
So I don't know whether that means Bruce Craig called him up and said, put this out.
Tarquin McDonald?
Tarquin McDonald, because we haven't actually had any confirmation officially that they have sent a letter.
Yeah.
We've just heard that they might be.
There's noises around.
They're seeking to start a dialogue.
Start a dialogue.
Or whatever it is.
Start a dialogue on replaying a game. I mean, surely Munster wants to replay the game when Neil Back tapped the ball. I mean, can you imagine that nowadays?
Standing? Wasps want to replay that Connacht game with the, when he got kicked to the corner.
Yeah.
They want to replay that now.
Absolutely, as he was. I mean,
you know, so unlucky. Who won that year? Saracen, sorry.
your Champions Cup win is on ice at the minute.
Yeah, it's going to be replayed.
Scratched from the record book.
Replayed from the, whatever it was, the group stages, the whole tournament.
It's such a brattish approach to rugby, isn't it? We want to replay this game.
So they've cited two things that the articles that are putting this forward have cited two things. One, the retrospective red cards, which would have cost to lose players, and also that the ref blew up the game early.
Yes.
So maybe he's got a point. I mean, is no point, right?
Yeah, because there are always, and there will always be refereeing mistakes.
Can you remember we have time for Wales against Italy?
Oh, yeah.
We have time.
Kick for the corner.
Yeah. So we have time, to most normal humans, means we have time.
We have enough time to do whatever you want to do.
But in official... So this is the problem with professions and officials and anything like that. You start to develop your own language and your own way of using words. So we have time now means you've run out of time. We've hit time. So when they asked the TMO, do we have time? He goes, yes, we have time. So when they kicked the corner, they couldn't finish off the game.
Yeah, but there will always be refereeing mistakes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of them will cost big, some of them will cost small. Generally, over the course of a season or many seasons, it will even itself out.
I don't really know what to do about Bath. They're a funny one, aren't they? Because... Yeah, I do like Bruce Craig. I like the fact he ploughs so much cash into rugby and tries to create these amazing teams.
And gets his, non-playing guys at a match day in mustard chinos.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I love all
mustard
that.
Chinos.
But more the other part of me thinks maybe this is too important to entrust into a private owner. Kind of like the Royal Navy. You know, I wouldn't want the Royal Navy being owned by someone.
Unless it was you.
Unless it was me, of course.
Yeah.
I wonder if Bath should be handed over to, like World Heritage or something, or the National Trust to run. It just seems too important for people to be ruining the club and besmirching their name by writing letters to replay, bad decisions.
It's ridiculous.
So one thing I did see on Twitter was associated with the time thing, that there is a precedent set in the NBA where games have been replayed.
Yeah.
But replayed with, 2 seconds left on the clock.
Really?
Yeah, so Bath get back those 10 seconds.
Hang on,
lose are down to 13 men, but Bath have got 10 seconds.
How much do you have to pay for admission for that 3-second game?
Whoa. We're not thinking straight here. So what do you do about injuries? So
it should be the same team out.
What if they're injured?
Well, put them out there. Get them out there on crutches.
Well, I mean, in reality, you're not going to be able to, are you? So you're going to have to be allowed to make some sort of replacement.
Oh, well, you've got the 23 men.
Yeah.
So whoever you can get on the field of those 23 that were in the matchday squad.
Right.
And maybe include the travelling reserve.
So...
Was this... Now, how would Kano work? Because technically he hadn't been banned at that point. However, it was after the red card.
So
he should have been given. So he should be off.
But he is actually banned now, weirdly.
But Toulouse are down to 13 men.
Yeah.
The two retrospective red cards come in.
Get
so
applied.
They've got 13 players.
But they're restarting from a line-out, aren't they?
So it's restarted from wherever the ball
went. Yeah, it's a line-out on about the 22, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, on the 20. So I think I would bench all of the backs and put on as many forwards as I can. I'd probably have a 12-man line out or something.
Put all 5 of your forwards from the bench on, or 6 of your forwards from the bench.
I
remember how many it was in the game.
Yeah, Jerome Kano is a funny one because technically he shouldn't be allowed to play any rugby, but he's going to have to be. The ban's going to have to be rescinded so he can play under that game.
No, but he doesn't actually play. He's going to be at that game in full kit, just sitting on a stool on the halfway line.
Well done, Bruce Craig. You've reduced rugby to a farce.
Oh.
There we go. We've done all the news.
Well, there's one other bit of news.
Oh, okay.
Well, there might be others, but a bit local to UJB, your beloved RGC.
Oh, yeah. Shame, this one.
Yeah.
Shame. Shame.
Player, former captain of RGC.
Banned for drugs.
For lots of drugs.
Lots and lots of delicious drugs.
I read
described
the
as a cocktail.
A cocktail of
delicious cocktail of drugs.
it's just a shame, isn't it? Young men throwing away their future. Nothing more tragic than that.
Well, especially you talk about besmirching the name. The gentleman who was in that RGC jersey before that in the second row. Just brought nothing but honour to that shirt.
An absolutely upstanding member of the of the community.
Community pillar.
Friend of the pod,
I'm pretty sure they should have retired that jersey when he retired.
Absolutely. Friend of the pod, upstanding member, pillar of the community, and barbarian Bryn Williams.
Yeah.
So that shirt has been tainted. So, yeah, they should have retired the number five jersey.
They learn, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, but that's why maybe it's the pressure to live up to that mantle is what led him down that
Or is it the pressure to look great in a T-shirt?
Was his next move, was it the cocktail of drugs and then going to play for Cleveland?
Yeah, these aren't performance enhancing. These are all just aesthetic drugs.
Yeah. He said, I'm rubbish at rugby now.
Yeah. Dom said the pool party's a great dinner.
I hate these stories because I know it's wrong. I don't really have much of a moral problem with it, to be fair. But I know it's wrong. I know it's cheating. I just hate the idea that, particularly for a young man like that who put so much into rugby and the pressure to do well, and then, yes, they do cheat. Yes, it's wrong. But there's a whole lifetime's work ruined there.
But it should be a good lesson for anyone.
Yeah. How much can you tell these lads, though? Because they tell them all the time, don't take drugs. You're going to take a supplement, make sure you get the batch number. Don't take these supplements. Record it. Get it off your nutritionist. Get it off the club doctor. Do all the right things. All the support is there for them. So when you do cheat, you know they're actually cheating.
You know it's wrong. Or they know it's wrong, but actually seeing someone.
Yeah.
It's
the personal story, isn't it?
Yeah. I've played with a lad who got banned for 2 years.
Yeah, and I bet he wasn't a terrible person.
The lad that I played with made a stupid mistake. He was a 130kg prop that took fat strippers because he was going on holiday.
Really?
He wasn't taking it for performance enhancing. It was such a stupid mistake. No performance benefit, but he just wanted to look a bit better on the beach.
He should have done the
got a 2 year ban.
He should have done the Exeter Chiefs beach body workout.
Yeah,
the beach booty,
beach booty, or bikini workout.
Got the Ashley Johnson defense. Yaya Toure had a similar one as well, didn't he? Where the wife's slimming pills, should have gone for that defense.
Yeah, grenades. apparently, that's what they're called.
Okay.
Apparently. Right, okay, well, that's a great way to end the pod with a ruined career.
There we go. So we will be back probably Tuesday morning.
Yes. So
for your feed on Tuesday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning.
All the Champions Cup.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
Dissecting the best and the worst.
Reviews and previews.
Hell yeah.
Right, let's go. Go on, Tim, do some professional presenting.
Well, that was the podcast, and do you know what? Now I kind of no. Don't worry. I feel like have we been a bit down on this podcast? Been a bit down on the England squad, when actually I'm still relatively optimistic.
I know.
Bit down on the red card, but actually, I am much like Phil said, thinking, well, it will change the behaviour, and let's see how it plays out then.
And I'll leave you with this little tease. A little tease, and something to brighten up the mood for next week's pod or tomorrow's podcast, which is we can talk about Guy Thompson.
Oh yes,
we can.
There we go.
Yeah,
and
the Thompson brothers, Guy and Blade.
Oh yeah.
Although Thompson and Thompson.
Okay, but, so yeah. Thanks for ruining that.
Guy Thompson, what a guy!
One day we'll be sitting around at Christmas and we'll go, do you remember the time when Phil ruined the podcast for us
by over-explaining the difference between Blade and Guy's last names?
I'm looking forward to talking about Guy Thompson already. There is a guy that means everything. It means everything to him every time he runs on the pitch.
Love it.
Played in the Championship. What a warrior! We'll talk about him and all the rest of the Champions Cup stuff next time. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.